Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Orla, thank you very much for that. Non-essential farm inspections by Department of Agriculture staff are to be paused for a number of weeks as farmers struggle with adverse weather conditions. Minister Charlie McConlogue has also said he's asked banks to show forbearance with farmers where cash flow issues are emerging. And the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue, joins us now. You're very welcome, Minister, to the programme. We were speaking earlier to Joanne Donnelly from Met Éireann, talking about the really adverse weather conditions we're expecting again this weekend. And we know the farmers have really struggled over the last couple of months with what they've been faced with. What have you announced today to help them?
Yeah, well, listen, it is a very difficult time for farmers particularly, and it has been a really unusual autumn and winter. So we've had a situation where many farms, animals have been housed since September, and we're looking at a 6 to 7 month winter period where many animals are inside. And that's a really challenging at the moment, particularly as we heard from Joanna Donnelly earlier on with the storm coming in this weekend. And no immediate let-up as well. It leads to a very stressful situation for farmers, whether you're a farmer that's waiting to get out to plough a field or you're a farmer who's minding animals. It's very, very challenging, and that's something I'm very conscious of. I've been working closely with the stakeholders, with the farm organisations, and also particularly as well through the National Fodder Committee, which I'd established under the chairmanship of Mike McGann, with Frank O'Mara on behalf of Chugusk and all the farm reps and stakeholders represented, to monitor the situation and also to provide necessary support as well as we go along.
Okay. And, so what can be done then? Friday. Because farmers are saying that some farmers at least are saying they're running out of fodder.
And some are. So the Fodder Committee met last Friday to get an update from all the stakeholders and the farm representatives in terms of what the challenges are across the country. And the assessment is that some farmers are under pressure and are running out of fodder. But overall, there is a supply of fodder in different parts of the country. So what I've done is I've tasked Chugusk with the task of working at local level with farmers to try and make sure that those who are in need of fodder can be linked up with those who would have fodder available, to make sure that at local levels that people can be accommodated and supported. What I've also done as well is announced that in relation to farm inspections, that only absolutely essential inspections essential to the continuation and the completion of payments for farmers will be happening over the next 2 to 3 weeks as well, again to support farmers and to recognise the situation they're in. And I've also been engaging with the banks as well to make sure that they are in a position to provide the necessary support, short-term support to farmers as well where needed, to address the challenges over the next few weeks.
Okay, I know you're saying that Chagas is saying there's enough fodder to go around, but the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association says there's not. They say that Chagas have reported there's enough fodder to go around, but their members on the ground are reporting a starkly different reality. They say a lot of farmers are having huge difficulty sourcing the fodder that they need, which is of a decent quality at a price they can afford and that they can afford to transport.
Yeah, well, listen, this is something I'm monitoring very closely, and I've asked the National Fodder Committee to meet again early next week as well, to bring all stakeholders, farm representatives together, all of those that were together last Friday, to feed into the situation nationally, to update again, and also for Chugusk, who are providing that localised support to farmers in terms of where there's those that have availability to those that don't, so that they can update in terms of what the situation is then too.
Matty McGrath, the independent TD, has been very critical of that meeting. You've mentioned it a couple of times now at the National Fodder and Food Security meeting last week. He says no action to support farmers emerged from that meeting, leaving farmers under continued pressure.
No, listen, I mean, I'm working very collaboratively with all stakeholders, particularly the farm representative organisations, but also the co-ops and Chugusk and the advisory agencies as well. That fodder committee is something I'd established 18 months ago. It's been meeting over the course of the last autumn and into the winter to monitor the situation.
Did any action emerge from that meeting last week? Because Matty McGrath says
I suppose the key thing at the moment, and this is what we're going to monitor very closely, Sarah, the key thing and the key feedback from stakeholders at the committee and particularly from Chugusk is that there is fodder available in the country and in different regions. The challenge is that some farmers are running short, so we need to ensure that people who need the fodder get the support and get the availability from those that have it. So that's the key objective in the short term. Obviously, whenever the stakeholders come together again next week, and as we'll be monitoring it in the meantime as well, we closely assess the situation as it evolves. I have been and working on me. Obviously, the key step that you can take to try and prepare for a situation such as this is to prepare in advance and make sure the stocks are as strong as they could be. And that's why last year, for example, I ran a fodder scheme nationally, yeah, where each farm family in the country were able to avail of a payment of up to €1,000.
Will you do that again?
Specifically for the purpose of trying to make sure the stocks were as strong as they possibly could be, so that we could be as prepared as possible for a moment like this, whereby you have a particularly long winter, just as we're experiencing now with September running into April as things stand. So the situation as it is at the moment is that there is the feedback from the National Committee is there is availability across the country. It's a matter of pairing people up.
All right. Well, like I say, the ICMSA or the ICSA is questioning that. They say that's not what they're hearing on the ground.
We continue to engage with them very closely. Others, but what I'd say as well is to farmers locally, those that have availability to provide that support to others and also to provide the moral support, because it's very challenging and farming can be quite solitary, particularly at a time of year like this where, you know, farmer is farming on his own and under the pressure for weather. It's important people engage with one another, support one another, and also then through
They also need financial support as well as moral support, or at least that's what they're saying. And they say they appreciate your engagement with financial institutions to address cash flow issues, but they need financial assistance. And they say that meeting that we're talking about last week, it was completely unacceptable. Again, I'm quoting the ICSA on this. It's completely unacceptable to abandon farmers in such a time of need. It is even more unacceptable to do so over an online meeting, because they were told at that meeting that no financial assistance would be forthcoming.
You know, again, this is something I'm closely monitoring, and the key thing coming from that meeting and from stakeholders last week was that there is availability in different parts of the country. That's obviously something we'll have to monitor very closely.
No, I'm not talking about fodder now. This is financial assistance we're talking about.
Well, I mean, the key issue facing farmers at the moment is being able to access fodder. And while we're getting into a situation where actually ground conditions can improve and farmers...
The farmers are saying that's one of the key issues, but another key issue is financial aid. They say what we need is real engagement that will result in real financial aid.
And listen, I will engage. I'll continue to engage here and look at what the reality is as it evolves. As I said to you, I've already delivered €1,000 per farm family to prepare for this winter by providing the financial support to make sure that when we could make the fodder stocks, which was last summer and into last autumn, that work was being supported to make sure that we have as strong a stock available as possible.
What we're doing now
is working to try and make sure that fodder gets to the farmers that need it and those that are running short.
The incoming Taoiseach, Simon Harris, has said today that he's given a firm commitment that his party, he's talking about Fine Gael specifically, will continue to back and champion rural Ireland and the agriculture sector. This was at a meeting with a party representative group for Fine Gael that represents farmers. Would you have any hope or expectation that things might change for farmers under Simon Harris?
Well, I welcome that. I mean, as a government, collectively, we've worked very hard to support farmers and indeed to support rural Ireland. The Common Agricultural Policy, the new Common Agricultural Policy, which I introduced last year, for the first time, Sarah, has seen the highest ever increase in funding, with a 50% increase in national funding towards the schemes for different sectors. So, for example, I've delivered on the Fianna Fáil Manifesto commitment of €200 per suckler cow. Okay. Also, in the most recent budget, we've delivered €20 per ewe. But collectively across government, and I have to say all three parties, this has been a government that has worked hard to support farmers. And we're doing so now at the moment in terms of monitoring the situation here. And also we've stepped out at times of need previously, for example, in relation to the pig sector and the horticulture sector.
All right. And I've put the farmers' points to you on what they want. All right. I want to ask you about the number of immigrants or asylum seekers arriving to the country, because new figures released by the Department of Justice in the last couple of hours show that the number of IPAS candidates, international protection applicants, in the first 3 months of this year is up 72% from the first 3 months of last year. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, that's certainly, as we know, putting pressure on. And listen, our country and our people have been very welcoming and generous over the last 18 months in particular, where we've seen mainly in terms of Ukrainian support for Ukrainians, but also for those seeking international protection, almost 100,000 people given shelter in our country. We have seen that become more challenging in terms of capacity, and that's well documented. We've also seen, particularly in the international protection side, as the figures today show, an increase in numbers over the last few months as well. That is putting pressure on the system. There's no two ways about it. But it is something the government are looking to respond to.
Can I talk to you about that response? He did indeed announce a plan in relation to this last week, and in that plan, it was assumed, the government told us, it was assumed that between 30 13,000 to 16,000 IPAS candidates would arrive on average per year between 2024 and 2028. Now, 13,000 in around arrived last year. Right now, this year, we're running 72% ahead of that. I mean, if we keep on trend with that this year, we'll have 26,000 people arriving this year. More, 26,000. So it looks like the government's plan to deal with this is already well out of date.
Well, listen, I mean, we will have to monitor the situation as it goes. We also have to make sure that the system is as efficient as possible in relation to processing those applications that come in. But in relation to the plan the Minister O'Gorman announced last week in terms of a comprehensive accommodation strategy, particularly looking at the state taking more control in relation to providing state-owned accommodation using state lands as opposed to relying on private providers, that is the approach that the government is going to take going forward.
No, I understand that. I understand that, Minister. I suppose
there's pressures on the system.
The point that I'm putting to you is that a plan that was announced last week was announced on the basis of a maximum of 16,000 IPAS candidates arriving on average per year between 2024 and 2028. Judging by what we know from the first 3 months of this year, the figures are going to be way beyond the max of what the government was expecting.
Well, we'll have to monitor what the situation is. The other thing we have to make sure we do is that the system that's in place is processing people quickly as well, so that people get quick answers in relation to their application, and that then puts less pressure on the temporary accommodation system. So, listen, we'll have to monitor it. The government has been responding, and if you look at what the government has done, and indeed our people have done over the last 18 months in terms of providing shelter to Ukrainian families as well as those coming through international protection, this country has stepped up remarkably well in a way that had been very hard for anyone to predict you would be able to do. And listen, it's something we're going to continue to monitor, and we're going to live up to our responsibilities.
Lots of monitoring going on.
But ensure it's an effective system.
I want to ask you finally about the plans or lack thereof for United Ireland. You'll have seen that report this morning suggesting that it could cost $20 billion per year for 20 years for unification. Now, we were speaking to Professor Seamus McGuinness from the ESRI on the programme a little earlier, and he was saying really, in his view, you can't put any figure on it until the planning is done. And that planning, he says, is very complicated, very intricate, and can only be done by government. And it hasn't been done. Not even a start in it.
Oh, no, listen, and Professor McGuinness is absolutely right. It is a massive piece of work, and it's not something that can be, dealt with in a glib manner. And also, I think the report today from the Institute of International and European Affairs is a welcome contribution as well. Living on the border myself, Sarah, I know the complications. I know the significant differences that are between from one side of the border to the other in terms of whether it's welfare rates, in terms of whether it's health services, taxation rates.
So, would you have liked this government to have done some work on this over the last 4 years?
I think, what we are doing is we are looking to try and work closely with Northern Ireland and looking at first and foremost ways in which we can share our island better and indeed ensure we can share services better and live in the one island in a way that actually supports everyone. And that's why the Nautanis just set up the shared island unit to try and support that work.
Okay.
And that's work that's ongoing at the moment. But it's a big challenge, and I think today's report shows that. It's something that would take a long time and would have significant cost, and that does need further assessment. There is significant work ongoing through the shared island initiative as well to gather ideas and proposals and thoughts in relation to that. But we do have immediate challenges. So if you look, particularly at somebody living in the border here, Sarah, out of the last 7 years, there's only been two of those years where we've had a functioning executive in Northern Ireland. Down 3 years when Sinn Féin brought it down, and 2 years then after the DUP pulling out.
Okay.
And that's the challenge that's there in the short term. And what we need to be focusing on now is supporting the work of the Northern Irish executive getting back up and running, and particularly then supporting the work of sharing our island and working
all
together.
Right, Minister,
and then looking
I'll
at
stop
that
you there
picture,
if you don't mind.
Undoubtedly is complicated.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue.